Brothers and sisters in the Lord, today we look at Genesis chapter 1, and we consider the fact that God created man in his own image. God created man in his own image. Let's pray. Father, as we get the opportunity to hear your word declared to us, we pray it would have its intended impact upon our lives. You promised that you send rain and it waters the earth and it grows. So you send your word and it accomplishes what you purpose. So, Lord, we pray that Christ would be formed in us today as we get to hear his word. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen. Family pictures are difficult, aren't they? Anyone with children or extended family knows this to be true. You see, when you're trying to have a family picture, you often try to make sure everyone's outfits are coordinated. And once you have everyone dressed properly, you have to position them properly. Then you have to make sure that their hands are down and that outfits are laying flat. And then you have to make sure that everyone's looking at the camera. And then you have to make sure that everyone is smiling while they're looking at the camera. And the years go by, it seems, as you're trying to get all of these things down pat. And then just when you think they might stand still, they might stand with everything in place and look at the camera and smile, all of a sudden, you see one sibling hold up two fingers behind their sibling's head. And you think they're just being silly. And I know, they're being silly. But you know what? When you're trying to send out that very traditional Christmas card to everyone you know, you're not going for silly, right? I mean, you're going to be on that family member's, that friend's refrigerator the whole year through. So you kind of want your resemblance to be just what you want, without any silliness. And that sense is a bit similar to God's thoughts about us. You know, God has particular thoughts about you and about me, and he has hopes for our life. He has very good things that he intends for us. And we know that because, as we learned last time, God made us. God made us. He created mankind. And the illustration came that he was the potter. We are the clay. And young people, you remember how I had the Play-Doh. God made us. He used dirt and formed man and made man alive. And what we learn from all that is that God has complete authority over all of us. He determined everything about us. He determined when we'd be born, what gender we'd be, what abilities we would have or not have. He decided all those things because he's the potter, we're the clay. He gave us life. And even after death entered history because of sin, he then provided eternal life through faith in Christ. That's what we considered last time we were together and studied that God made man. Today I want us to consider how God made us. How God made us, because he made us uniquely different from anything else that he had made. Look in your Bibles at Genesis chapter 1, verse 26 and 27. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. The Bible says, "Then God said, 'Let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let him have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the birds of the heavens, and over the livestock, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth.'" So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Last time it was the simple fact that God created man. God himself did so. And today, we learn that God created man like himself. Because it says that God created man in his own image. And as we consider this together, my brothers and sisters in the Lord, I want you to notice first something about this image of God, because the image of God is something that is unique to man. Look at verse 26. It says, "Let us make man." Not everyone, not everything, but man. Let us make man in our image. You know, as we read through the creation account in Genesis 1 and 2, we realize that man is very similar to the other things that God created. Look in chapter 2, verse 9. It says, "Out of the ground the Lord made to spring up every tree that is pleasant to the sight and good for food." Out of the ground. You say, well, that sounds like the creation of man, out of the ground. Right. Very similar. Look at verse 19. "Out of the ground the Lord had formed every beast of the field and every bird of the heavens." You see, God made many things out of dirt, is one way to think of it. And then of those things that he made of dirt, God gave life to some of those things. He gave life to the animals. Look at chapter 1, verse 24. God said, "Let the earth bring forth living creatures." And there's all sorts of creatures that are alive. Many things made of dirt. Some things that are made alive, but only man was made in the image of God. And the psalmist said concerning man that God crowned him with glory and honor. You see, you and I are not just like everyone else around us that God made. We're different. Why? Because we were made in the image of God. Now the question comes, is every single person made in God's image? Or was that just like an Adam thing, but none of us? Did something change? Well, every person is made in the image of God. Adam, Eve, and everyone who is born since then bears the image of God. Because the image of God is not only unique to man, it is universal among man. So the image of God passes from one generation to the next. It says in Genesis chapter 5 these words. This is the book of the generations of Adam. When God created man, he made him in the likeness of God. Male and female he created them, and he blessed them and named them man when they were created. Then Adam lived 130 years. He fathered a son in his own likeness, after his image, and named him Seth. So Seth was in Adam's likeness. Well, whose likeness was Adam in? Well, in the image of God. So you see that just as a copier reproduces an image, the human race reproduced God's image. Each one that came over the years had God's image. And that without deterioration, because the image of God remains intact through the years. We know that because when you turn to Genesis chapter 9 and you hear the conversation that God had with Noah after the flood, God said that there needs to be punishment for murder. And God based that command, based that law on the fact that the image of God remains in man. Even after the fall, even after the flood, the image of God remains in man. Nothing has reduced it over time. So the same is actually true thousands of years later when James picks up the same point and he says in chapter 3, verse 9, that people are made in the likeness of God. Therefore, that has ramifications. So preaches in the beginning, all the way back to Noah, preaches at the end. People like James, they're all saying man has the image of God. So the image of God is universal among man. So that's the theological truth. If you were looking for the doctrine of today's sermon, that's the stuff of it. God wants each one of us to believe this, that he made man in his own image, that each one of us bears the image of God. Now, for some of you, that is a truth that you've known your entire life. You've been taught that. But maybe for some of you, that is the very first time you're ever hearing that you were made in the image of God. Well, that's the truth you need to believe. That's the truth. But why does it matter? What are the implications of this doctrine of the image of God? Why does it matter to us? What difference does it make? Well, this is where we're going to spend most of our time now. Because the Bible not only tells us this is the truth, but it explain why this truth matters so much. So first, what does the image of God mean for us? Well, it means that man is like God. Man is made in God's image, therefore man is like God. He's not God, but he is like God. He's not the same as God, but he is similar to God. And this term for image or likeness, that has to do with something that's a carving or something that's a shadow. And you can think of either one. If you see someone's shadow, you say, well, that's not him, but it is like him. We can make shadows on the wall and say, well, that looks like something. It's not the same as it, but it looks like it. We see that there's a correspondence between the two. So when God makes man in his own image, it is clear that there are things about man that correspond to God. You say, well, how then is man like God? I know that man is like God, but how? What exactly is this image you're talking about? Well, theologians give a lot of opinions on this matter and a lot of good opinions. And I say that theologians give opinions because we actually don't have a verse that says in very simple terms, the image of God is. There is no cross-reference for that. Okay? Of course, as we continue to do our study, we're going to talk about how the image of God is renewed in his people, and we're going to get some more concrete answers about that, but that's for later. But for now, I want you to consider what theologians do say, how theologians would say that man is like God. And we can boil it down to three different areas. Number one, man is a person, man is a ruler, and man is a relational being. He's a person, a ruler, and a relational being. You know, God is a person, God is a ruler, and he is a relational being. And those are the chief ways that God and man are alike. So what does it mean to be a person? It means that you have things like a mind, a will, emotion, and that those things are uniquely different from the rest of creation. Kids, think about this. Is your dog a person? No. You may love your dog, but it's not a person. Does your dog have a conscience? No. Animals do not feel bad when they've done something wrong. They may feel bad when you catch them and you don't give them a treat or something, but that's not a conscience. We have a conscience. We have mind, will, and emotion. We think. Your dog does not think. Your dog does not think about the fact that he thinks or know that he knows or doesn't know. But we know that we know, or we know that we don't know what we don't know or know. We are very different from all the rest of creation because we're a person. We're like God. That's one of the ways that theologians say we have the image of God in the very fact that we are a person, our personhood. Secondly, theologians draw a connection between God and man by saying that God has set man over the rest of his creation. God has set man over his creation. Remember back in Genesis chapter 1, verse 26, God says, let us make man. And he goes on immediately to say, and let him have dominion over. You see, God is the sovereign of all the universe, but God has chosen to make man the sovereign in this world. Kids, to understand that, God put man at the top of the food chain. We're not the biggest and strongest, but we are still at the top. We're the one who dictates in the earth. We're the one who cultivates the earth. We're the one who exercises dominion in the earth. That's obvious. And so we reflect the one who made us, who exercises dominion over all things. Man is also a relational creature like God. Now, this one can be hard to wrap our minds around. When we think about the Trinity, how there is one God and three persons. But as a triune God, God is a relational being. Have you ever considered the fact that God have to wait until creation for him to have a relationship with someone? He didn't need you and me so that there would be someone to relate to. We know this because when Jesus prayed in the garden to his Father, he said this, John 17:24, "Father, I desire that they also, whom you've given me, may be with me where I am, to see my glory that you have given me, because you loved me before the foundation of the world." The Father loved the Son long before the creation. You see, God is a relational being, and we're relational too. God said in Genesis, it's not good for man to be alone. So he made man a counterpart. God has made people to be relational. And this truth has been raised in a significant way because we've just been through the pandemic together. And people have been isolated. Now everyone's talking about all the negative effects of people being isolated. And there are many because man is not supposed to be isolated. Man is supposed to live in relationship with other people. That's part of how we're geared, because the one in whose image we're made is a relational being. So to sum up what the theologians say, man is like God in that he is a person. He has a purpose of ruling over creation, and that he has relationships, or he is people-oriented. Those are very, very good observations of how mankind is like God. But I want you to always remember the main and basic point. Man, unlike all the other creatures of the universe, is unique like God because he's in God's image. Man is like God. So think of this. The more you learn about man, the more you learn about God. The more you learn about God, the more you'll learn about man who's made in his image. Man is like God. More about that later. But let's go on to say, not only is man like God, but man is made in his image, and therefore man matters to God. Man matters to God. The psalmist said that God honored man by the way he made him. So young people, if you wonder what your purpose in life is and why you matter in this world, it's because God made you in his image. That's why you have value and worth. Your life is significant because you have his image. That's why you are far superior to everything else that's been around you. Kids, to make it real simple, your life matters more than any animal because you were made in the image of God. So you matter. You're significant. That's what God has done, period. End of story. Now what do we do with the fact that man matters to God? Well, God draws a lot of conclusions from this in particular. And I'm going to summarize the biblical teaching in 2 points, if you'll allow me. First, since man matters to God, we need to respect man. And secondly, we need to render to God what's due him, because man is made in God's image. So let's consider those together. What we need to do is respect man. That's a broad way for me to talk about how we deal with mankind who bear the image of God, who have been honored by God. And I'll ask you this question. Since God has honored man, making man in his image, how do you think God will respond when someone dishonors or harms someone who bears his image? I'm going to read a number of passages. I just want these to sink in succession. Genesis 9:6. "Whoever sheds the blood of man, by man shall his blood be shed, for God man in his own image." So we have capital punishment instituted in the flood. Why can't you just murder at will? Because that person bears the image of God and matters to God. You cannot harm someone who bears his image and get away with it. Proverbs 17:31. "Whoever opposes a poor person insults his maker, but he who is generous to the needy honors him." Proverbs 17:5. "Whoever mocks the poor insults his maker. He who is glad at calamity will not go unpunished." Consider Jesus' word, Matthew 5. "You have heard it said to those of old, 'You shall not murder,' and whoever murders will be liable to judgment. But I say to you that everyone who's angry with his brother will be liable to judgment. And whoever hates his brother will be liable to the council. And whoever says, "You fool," will be liable to the hell of fire. And then James chapter 3, verse 9. With the tongue we bless our Lord and Father, and with it we curse people who are made in the likeness of God. No. No, to wrap up all these truths, because man is made in the image of God, man's life is to be protected and helped and not harmed. So what does that look like? Well, if man's life should be protected and helped and not harmed, it is because of the image of God in man that God condemns abortion. Assisted suicide. Physical abuse. Verbal abuse. Anger. Insults. God is saying, you can't treat someone who bears my image like that. Why is ending life in the womb a problem? Because the one in that womb bears the image of God, because he forms us in our mother's womb. As I say that, I'm preaching to the choir on that point. I'm guessing that. But if you've never heard that, that's why we don't believe abortion is right, because that child bears the image of God. Therefore, we must not harm the child, but instead help the child. Again, I think that is preaching to the choir, so I'll move on. What about abuse? Abuse? I'm talking to church people. Abuse. You know that during COVID, the shelters for domestic abuse filled and were maxed out? Domestic abuse was just wretched through the pandemic. And so often it's a terrible, terrible circle. It's a terrible cycle of drinking and then abuse. And then the cops are called, and the person won't turn them in, and then it just keeps going. Abuse and abuse and abuse. Wicked. Don't treat someone who bears God's image like that. If not physical, verbal. Because Jesus makes the matter not just murder, of harming someone ultimately, but even being angry with a brother, or insulting a brother, or saying, "You fool." Think about those kinds of things in our society and how okay it is to be angry. Just go after someone. God says, no. You can't lash out like that. Or insulting someone. And I just have to reflect and say, wouldn't you agree that most of social media and news media is built on insults? That's little more than what it is. All of those things are basically about someone saying, "You fool." And God says no to that. And on Judgment Day, Jesus won't need anything more than a Facebook account to make the cases. Because he said, "Truly I say to you, as you did it to one of these, the least of my brothers, you did it to me." Because we bear God's image, there is a correlation there. There's an impact there. He has honored man, giving him his image. So we have no right to dishonor what he has honored. So we must respect to bear God's image. Lastly, then, we have to render to God what's his. You know that Jesus was asked. He was asked in such a way that he would be tripped up. He was asked about taxes and paying your taxes. So Jesus, in giving that question, he said, "Can someone hand me a coin?" And he says, "Whose likeness is on this coin?" And they said, "Caesar." And he answers, "Render to Caesar the things that are Caesar's." Pay your taxes. You benefit from Caesar and all that comes from the government. So pay your taxes. But then he goes further and says, and render to God what's God's. This coin bears Caesar's likeness. You bear my likeness. So give to me what I deserve. You see, the point is, if you bear his image, then you have to realize that your entire existence is supposed to image him. You see, God cares about your life and my life, and whether or not we're imaging him the way we should. We care about image. We don't like people to distort our images. We don't like when we have family pictures, and we finally get everyone set, and someone raises up the two fingers, and they ruin the picture, at least what we wanted. Even so, God has made us like him, and he wants a particular image of himself, given all the people who are his image. So our responsibility is to take that very seriously, to help those, to protect those who bear his image, and not to harm them. And with all of our lives, because we bear his image, to bring him glory. Let's pray for God's help to that end. Father, as we consider this truth today, thank you for directing us as to who we are, what we're supposed to be doing, how we're supposed to be treating each other, such very practical and significant things we face every single day. Lord, help us to be careful the way we treat people who bear your image. Help us to be loving and kind and not those who harm. Help us to be people who very mindfully want to image you and bring you glory because of all that you've done in making us. Thank you that even though we fail, even though we sinned, you've sent Jesus Christ to die for our sins, to forgive us for our sins, and the Holy Spirit to make us more like Jesus, that we might reflect you better. Father, we don't come to you just hoping we'll do better, but instead realizing that we need you to do a great work in our hearts. We need us to be changed. We need to get rid of some things. We need to make some things right with people who we've insulted. Take some things off of social media. Make some things right. Lord, help us to do that because we want to honor you and honor those who bear your image. We pray for that in Jesus' name. Amen.